This is the home of the Grit Grinder.
I'm a professional grinder.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
This is exactly what kind of song we need to kick this afternoon off with. It is a beautiful day outside. There are some grit grinders out there playing golf. A lot of the munis opened up today.
Oh, my God.
Were you watching CP24 this morning around 10 a.m.?
What, the grit grinders on the golf course?
Did you see them showing live shots at Don Valley? They were showing live shots. The first foursome, I guess, went off at like 9:57.
Cardigans, jeans, and foot joys.
This guy had a pair of the Wrangler jeans, a Tilly hat, an old school wooden driver, and he was the first one off, and he bombed it right up the pipe. Bombed it.
No, he didn't.
I'm telling you, he did. He had a smooth swing. He was feeling it. It's beautiful outside.
Well, if he had that gear on, I guarantee you, before that ball hit the fairway, there was a D in his yip, and he had it sparked up for the first fairway.
He threw that cigarette onto that first tee with pleasure.
It was probably resting on the tee block, and he just picked her up and carried on.
I love those guys. They worry about the sprays that are out there. They don't want to get too sick. Those guys are the best. The irony that comes with that, hey, I want to make sure my cigarette doesn't get poison on it. You're smoking a cigarette, dude.
And they will look for any time. They'll put a tee in the ground, set it on the tee. They'll put the cigarette pack. They'll rest it anywhere.
They will protect that one cigarette more than they would their first child.
Yeah.
More than they would that new driver they just bought at Golf Town. That first cigarette that they just sparked up, that thing, there is no way they're letting that go.
No.
And no
way.
If
it blows away in the wind on the fairway, they will light up a provisional.
If they have to.
Mm-hmm.
If they have to. A breakfast dart. Instead of a breakfast ball off the first tee. But, yeah, a lot of the munis are open today. I saw a couple of guys with shorts out there. I have a cardinal rule. Like, this is the first really nice day of spring. I think you got to wait 2 days after the first nice day.
How about 2 weeks? It is not warm enough for shorts.
All right, I'll give you 2 weeks.
That's reasonable.
So 2 weeks today, you can start wearing shorts. But if you're that guy who got up this morning, even though it was still only like 3 degrees when the sun wasn't up yet or when it was just coming up, and you looked at the forecast and said, oh, it's going to be 14 this afternoon, I'm pulling the cargos out, you're shorts guy. And shorts guy, I think, ruins this kind of day for everybody.
There's something about people in our country, it's like they're dying to put them on. They're dying to put them on. They have no patience for it. They see any kind of sun out there, the shorts come on.
When they hit double digits, it's time for shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even a difficult winter. Like, we were complaining the past couple of weeks because it got cold again. It snowed a little bit. But it was probably the easiest winter I can remember. Like, remember a few years ago that ice storm that kicked everything off? And that was in December, I believe.
Yeah.
And then it was freezing cold, and there were massive snowstorms. Like, 2-3 years ago was one of the worst winters I've ever experienced. This one, probably the easiest. I honestly think I shoveled twice.
Yeah,
like,
there was
maybe
two or three
twice.
Snowstorms, and then we had the one recently, and that's it.
I just flipped my snow tires over. I don't think I needed them at any time. Like, they're always a good thing to have, and it doesn't hurt, and I'm an advocate of doing that, and I've been doing it for a couple of years now, but I absolutely didn't have to go through with that. I got to have the standard turbo tires or whatever and just been rocking the whole winter, and it would not have made a difference. Anyway, Pat Venditti's going to join us around 4:30. The Blue Jays are in Boston tonight, and this guy's story is just incredible. He's ambidextrous. He's a lefty and a righty, and you never know what he's going to bring when he's on the mound.
So let me get this straight. He's not allowed to switch mid at bat. I mean, I don't even know.
We got to ask him if he's ever done it.
I think there was a situation last year where he wanted a glove from the dugout. I don't know what the situation, but there was something.
Well, we got to ask him about the glove because I think he's got a glove that basically
that fits both hands,
goes both ways somehow.
Whoa.
Yeah, it swings both ways, is my understanding. So Pat will join us in about 25
That's
minutes.
That's a crazy glove.
It is, man. And they're in Fenway tonight for a three-game series against the Red Sox. So we'll catch up with him in about 25 minutes. Night three of the NHL playoffs tonight. And we discussed this a lot leading into the playoffs. We've known for months now no Canadian teams are going to be in it. We knew the Maple Leafs were going to be in it last year. Like this time last year, everyone's like, yeah, they're not making it next year. It's simply not going to happen. But I have already noticed two nights in that my level of interest just is not where it has been historically. And it's not that I'm any lesser of a hockey fan. I still love hockey. I still love the playoffs. I probably should have seen this coming when I wasn't really amped up for opening night.
Well, the most intriguing series and the best hockey is starting at 10:30 at night. And if you got to work the next day, you're not really going to stay up and watch L.A. and San Jose. Because you watched that game last night. I mean, that was entertaining. It was big boy hockey. It was the best game won of all the series.
It was a great game. But even that Florida Islanders game was a fun game.
Yep.
Right? It was a fun game. But I find I'm going home tonight, and I think Boston Jays will be my higher priority.
No question.
Tomorrow afternoon, it's not even debatable.
Last week, I said, and you said no, but I think there's a part of a yes in the answer, which is if there's Canadian teams in, you kind of attach yourself just for what we do here at TSN. I mean, it's going to be talked about. If Vancouver last year, I believe Vancouver played Calgary. Winnipeg was in the playoffs. And we kind of were interested in that. We would talk to people from those cities. We'd have them on our show. And it's just, now you look at some of these matches. It's Anaheim versus Nashville, the Islanders versus Florida. It's got, like, such an American flair. But it's just the hockey fan tunes in, but their level of interest or caring about it, I don't know how deep it is.
No, you're so much more familiar with the Canadian teams.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if two or three Canadian teams make the playoffs, the interest is great at the beginning, and then everyone ultimately is interested in the Stanley Cup final. But now I find people are just like, whatever.
Well, you don't have the mainstream, right? You don't have the fair weather fan who likes the playoffs, but usually likes it because it's starting CTV National News or the National on CBC or whatever. You pick up the papers and everyone's talking about it. Everyone's reading about it. So you naturally feel a bit more of a buzz, right? The buzz and the reaction from Canadian teams is overwhelming.
2 years ago, the Montreal Canadiens went to the conference final against the New York Rangers. It was a massive.
You couldn't avoid it.
No.
It was the biggest story in the country because everyone was focused on it. And because of the country we live in, naturally, I think we're just more familiar with the Canadian teams. You watch SportsCenter at night. They'll start with the Maple Leafs, then they'll go to the Habs, then Ottawa, then Winnipeg, then Vancouver. You don't see a five-minute pack from the panel on the Islanders. Doesn't happen. So, yeah, we know Tavares. You know maybe Kyle Okposo, maybe Nick Leddy, maybe Travis Hamonic. But you can't really get that deep into it. Like, remember last year, that fourth line for Montreal, when they picked up Flynn and they had Dale Weiss, and they had that was like a big story. We're doing a show in Toronto, and we're coming on the air talking about the fourth line in Montreal. We can't waste time talking about the fourth line in Nashville. It's a tune-out. Like, people are not familiar with
it,
and people don't want to hear it. Exactly. And listen, I love playoff hockey, and I'm going to watch based on instinct more than anything else, but I miss it. I really wish I had more emotion, and clearly I wish the Maple Leafs were in because this city, when it's really rocking, it's like nothing else, and it makes you almost tear up thinking that they've been to the playoffs once over the past 10 years. And I'm watching that game in Florida last night, and they had nowhere close to a sellout. They're trying to convince people they had over 16,000 people in Florida. There's no chance that happened.
What do you think about – I think when Tim Leiwicki was here, he said some outrageous things. He promised outrageous things. But he made one comment, and I want to get your take on it. As of right now, and you know the comment I'm going to make, or his comment, he's like, not before too long, the Raps will outdo the Leafs in popularity. Do you have any sense of that right now, or is it just because the teams are on two opposite ends of the spectrum?
I think it's easy to say it because the Raptors are so successful right now.
And but you think if the Maple Leafs were a cup contender, it's not even a contest?
I think it's going to be determined more on how the media covers it. The media generally dictates the popularity of a team based on the amount of volume that they pour into covering that team. So, for instance, if the Maple Leafs were playing Game 1 tomorrow night at the ACC and the Raptors were playing Game 1 in the afternoon, 80% of it, I think, would still be Maple Leafs. I don't know where it's going to be in 10 years, but I would think the majority of the media still at that point will likely focus on thinking the Maple Leafs sell more, they get more clicks online, they get bigger ratings on TV and on radio. But this city is so big now, I don't think there necessarily has to be that one team that owns a market, right? Like, we're talking 6 million people in the GTA, more than that, and it's growing rapidly. So I think even if the Maple Leafs technically would be number one, there was a time, I mean, clearly before the Jays showed up where they were the only team, it was them and the Argos. Then the Jays showed up, and the Jays, you know, they had their thing, but it was always a Maple Leaf town. But now, even if the Leafs are the most popular team, I don't think it's like 80-10-10. It's probably like maybe 50-30-20, if you know what I mean. Like, they're not going to own it to the extent that they once owned it. I think those days are gone because I think the city has grown
so
much.
There's only one thing that would bring that type of attention back is if they had a Washington Capitals-type season and the whole hockey world were talking about them as being a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Then this city would literally be going nuts during their playoff run.
But I think that has to apply to the other teams, too. Like, look at the Blue Jays right now. There are a lot of people picking them to go to a World Series and win a World Series, and you can feel it. Like, you can feel the hype. We were talking about this off the air a couple of days ago. In a way, them coming out of the gate kind of slow may be actually the best thing possible here to diffuse the hype a little bit. Like, settle people down. 162 games. We can't treat every game like it's game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not possible to keep up with that kind of mentality and that kind of psychology. So them kind of slowing things down and letting it breathe a little bit may lead to a bit of a different reaction. But you look at what they're pulling in here with ratings and with buzz and with interest, and everywhere you go in the city, it's Blue Jay gear left, right, and center. That's because of a World Series expectation. I totally agree with you. If the Maple Leafs had 120 points in a season,
exactly,
it would be huge. But what if the Raptors did that? What if the Raptors went 73-9? Can you imagine if you picked up Golden State and put them here? Because I think when it comes to the Raptors, too, they've never had like a true superstar. Like, I guess Vince was. Vince was a superstar. But in terms of like what they have right now.
Was he a superstar?
He was based on...
Or was he
Flash
a star?
And based
he
on...
was a star, not a superstar.
You're right.
Steph Curry's a superstar. They never had anything like that.
No, they never had a LeBron, Curry, Duncan, Kobe, Shaq. You know, Vince was never in that category. I don't
they
care what
Vince,
people
Tracy
say.
Vince, Tracy McGrady, Kyle Lowry.
DeMar, Chris Bosh. Like, I wonder about that. I wonder about that. Like, if they found the next Steph Curry, what would happen? And how would people react? But you can apply that to the Maple Leafs as well. They haven't had one of the best players in the league since Gilmore in the early 90s. Like, as great as Mats was, he was great. Hall of Famer. Mats, at no particular time, was a top 3 or 5 player in the league. Top 10 or 15, maybe. Top 20, for sure. But
God, isn't it unbelievable to think of their past history and how they, like, haven't found, like, a Jamie Benn in the 4th or 5th round that just morphs into a star? Like, it's crazy, the draft history.
Well, and that's what you notice when you watch the playoffs through 2 nights. Like, yeah, there's first overall picks putting in work. John Tavares last night was unbelievable. Sidney Crosby in Game 1 was unbelievable. But Joe Pavelski went in what? Like the 3rd round? The 5th round?
Something like that.
Jamie Benn went in the 5th round. Those guys put in work, too. Like, those guys were superstars last night. Winning.
That's why I said it's unbelievable that all these other teams they have these guys that just pop up out of nowhere. Oh, yeah, look at that guy. He's like, you just sit down and go watch games with Craig, and he'll be like, yeah, that guy's 4th-round pick. And that's why he always talks about, as far as drafting, it's not just about getting a top-10 pick or Mitch Marner 4th overall or what you do with a lottery pick. It's what you do after that. Going out and finding a guy in the KHL, like that shot, Soshnikov was... That's a good start. Like, it's a good player that you're not that supposed to have. It just pops up. And they got to continue to do that. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to turn into a superstar. You look at all the teams that are ready to compete in the playoffs. It's like I've told you 10 million times. Pro sports and winning is about elite talent. You don't win without elite talent.
Well, and that's the most.
Everyone's so jacked up about the possibility of getting Austin Matthews. If he doesn't turn into an unbelievable player and able to compete against Jack Eichel in Buffalo, and if they ever get to a final, there's going to be Connor McDavid out in Edmonton. Getzlaff's not going anywhere for a few years. Crosby isn't. Ovechkin isn't. Like, that's what you're dealing with. It's just so funny. You get Austin Matthews, oh, we're going to be great. Like,
it's also you need more than that. Like, you just mentioned a few teams. Go to Washington. Yeah, Ovechkin is brilliant, but Nick Backstrom is a star player as well.
No kidding, and they traded for Oshie. They signed Justin Williams.
Braden Holtby is going to win a Vezina.
They signed Niskanen. Like, it takes every avenue of trying to acquire talent, and you got to use all of them.
And you need multiple superstars. Like, you really do. You need multiple superstars if you want to win a Stanley Cup. Look at Chicago. Look at L.A., look at what Washington's going to do here.
Yeah, and in Washington, it starts with one thing. You can talk about Ovechkin and Backstrom and all the stars. Their goalie, they did not start off well last night. Philadelphia was dominating the play. But guess what? You put a superstar in net, he allows you to ease into the game when you don't have it off the hop, and ultimately they win.
That's the thing. I came out of that game feeling even better about Washington because I didn't think they played a great game.
They did it all year, Brian. They won in so many different ways, and that's why I thought or believed that they were going to be able to take the next step because in years past, they don't have it. It was kind of like, well, maybe the next night we'll go get them.
That's why I think they're going to cruise.
They won a bunch of games, down 3-1. They'll beat you 2-1. They'll beat you 7-5. They'll beat you 7-1. They can beat you pretty much any way.
And Philly needed that win last night because of what you said. They had a really strong first period. It was a 2-0 game, so it's a close game. You need a couple of lucky bounces there to go your way.
We talked about it last night. Special teams was a major factor. They had 3 or 4 power plays right in the first period. They couldn't capitalize. And you know when that doesn't happen, the other team's going to come roaring back.
Yeah, good night, especially when you're dealing with that kind of a team. When you've got Washington on the ropes and you don't capitalize, you're toast. Like, I think that's over in 5. And I almost came out of that game last night thinking they might sweep. I think Dallas could sweep. Minnesota they're not a playoff team.
I don't know what the hell
they're in by default.
I don't know what it is with them. I like their players. Parise's injured. I like him. I like Suter. I kind of like Koivu, but that all of them together, I'm just like, you guys aren't even close to
competing.
They're
not even close.
No, they're living a pipe dream if they think that they're anywhere close to winning a Stanley Cup.
And that's Dallas without Tyler Seguin too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Without arguably their best player in the lineup, and they just steamrolled Minnesota last night. So I came out of that thinking that could be a short series.
Mm-hmm.
Washington could be a short series. We'll see what the Rangers do tonight. This is a big one for them. We don't know what's going to happen with Henrik Lundqvist, but if you go down 2-0 to Pittsburgh and the way the Pens have been playing recently, and if they still have a third-string goalie in there and you go down 2-0, I think the Rangers may be ordering up the U-Hauls pretty soon as well.
There's something wrong. There's something off with that Ranger team. They had no mojo, and we'll see what they got tonight because look where Pitt's come from where the beginning of the season till now. We were saying they're barely going to make the play. Probably had a Jerry's percentage on those guys, numerous ones.
They were like
Sid
halfway
was
through
awful.
The year, they
Phil
were out.
Phil was out to lunch. The team looked terrible. The coach didn't know what he was doing.
They were out of the playoffs at least halfway through the season.
No question.
Like 40-41. Not significantly out, but a point or two out. Like hovering. Because we were tracking it all year about the Maple Leafs draft pick, which they get now because they made the playoffs from the Kessel deal. And I remember thinking, you know what? This is going to roll over. They're not going to make it. Or if they do, it's going to be a great pick for the Leafs. It'll be the 15th pick because they're going to backdoor their way in. And then they went, I think, 10-1 the final 11 games and skyrocketed up to like 4th overall in the league. It's impressive. And that coach, man, you got to give him credit. Whatever he did, because remember, he lost his first 4 games behind the bench. Mike Sullivan got there. They lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, and that's when you really wanted to write them off, saying nobody can fix these guys, they're garbage.
Exactly. And then next thing you know, see you later. Malkin goes down, who cares? We're fine. Fleury, 2 concussions, doesn't matter, we're good.
Where's
it's impressive.
Where's your headspace at if the L.A. Kings go down 0-2 to San Jose?
I give them more of a rope than that. I got to give credit to San Jose because they look like a very good team.
They did.
A different team, yet they're still the same players. It's Thornton, Pavelski, Marlowe, Couture, Vlasic, Burns. Like, considering what they were a year ago when they missed the playoffs and a couple of years ago when they were up 3-0 on L.A. and lost in seven, a lot of the same characters kicking around there. So whatever's happened with Pete DeBoer behind the bench and whatever message he has sent or style of play he has them executing, you got to give him credit. I mean, they look very good. They look very good last night. Pat Venditti will join us, the ambidextrous relief pitcher.
Dude, have you ever tried to throw a ball left-handed? It's something else, isn't it?
You know what something else is? Trying to spit out the word ambidextrous. It might be harder to say the word than to actually be ambidextrous.
What kind of bar play do you think that gets you? I'm a pitcher, and I pitch with both arms.
Mm.
Do you think that's a deal closer?
No, I don't. I'm not even sure that's an icebreaker.
No?
I'm not sure. I don't know if the bar play really factors in. I think being in the majors,
it would definitely get someone's imagination running.
All right, so we'll get Pat Venditti in here in about 10 minutes.
And you talked about draft picks for the Penguins and the Leafs getting their first-round pick. I want to read to you, or maybe you can read it, what Bob McKenzie, I finally found it. Somebody tweeted it to me. What he said about me going into the draft. Because it's quite something.
All right, we'll read that before we get Pat in here.
All right.
Because it is quite the breakdown.
It is something else, isn't it? I gave you and Steph a little bit of a preview to it. It's cost me millions. There's no other way around it.
Well, I mean, part of it, you'd walk away thinking first overall. The other part, you're thinking undrafted, PTO.
Manziel.
Johnny Manziel type. There's more news on Manziel, too.
This guy, honestly.
We got to get into that as well.
And Pablo. Apparently, he liked to eat room service.
Yeah, Sandoval, the Red Sox, shut his room service down.
How do you even do that? Do you have to go into the kitchen and say, hey, if the guy that looks like a panda bear orders nuggies at midnight,
shut him down.
Yeah, bring him up a smoothie.
They must have shut his phone down or something. I don't know. He was a prisoner on the road.
I'll tell you what. When I was getting ready for my second training camp, I had shoulder surgery, and I clearly wasn't in the best shape. Matt Nichol was the athletic trainer. He showed up at my house, unexpected, got a garbage bag and went through my fridge and started putting things into the garbage bag and said, enough's enough.
How many bags?
Dude, one. Come on.
What was it, though? Like, food and booze and...
Well, whatever that was not supposed to be in there. It was gone. That's what happens, man. It's like this. It's like Secret Service people just showing up and we're getting rid of this stuff.
Well, you weren't in year two of a 5-year monster contract, though.
Well, I want to ask Steve Phillips about the standard player contract because I think there's something in it. The player must show up to training camp. I think the terminology is like reasonable shape. Or else, I don't even, that's what I want to ask him. What's the or else in that language? Aren't you supposed to be able to just cut guy loose and not pay him?
I think it's a slippery slope, though. That's where the union comes into play. They won't let you get away with it. But
well, I'll ask Steve.
All right, Steve Phillips in just over an hour. Ray Ferraro just after 5. Pat Venditti, relief pitcher for the Blue Jays. He'll join us live from Fenway in about 10 minutes. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Man, we're keeping it together
here. Out, man.
Let's keep it together here. This is the problem with doing radio when you hit a break and you do some of the dumbest things during the break.
I know.
And you can't even explain them on the air.
I'll give you credit, though. I think there's only been a couple times since we've worked together that you've completely lost it on air and like couldn't, you usually get it together because you know you have to. I think Lieutenant Dan Day was, that was a tough one.
Lieutenant Dan really threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I was not expecting a Lieutenant Dan reference when we were describing how the Maple Leafs went into the Christmas break.
Yeah. It was coming down the stretch. I think the question was, how would you assess the way they're coming down the stretch? And I tossed out, they're Lieutenant Danning it.
It was a perfect analogy because they were Lieutenant Danning it, but I was not prepared for that. Pat Venditti will join us in the next few minutes here. Blue Jays pitcher. He's not a righty. He's not a lefty. He's both. He's ambidextrous. We might get him.
He's a switcher.
He's a switcher.
Not a pitcher. A switcher.
I like that. He's a switcher. Yeah. Maybe we'll get him to try to spell the word ambidextrous, which will probably rattle his cage. He'll be like, shut up.
Hate
so
you.
Dumb.
Want to leave this interview already.
All right, so Pat's coming up in a moment. 50 Hours in Vegas is back. Today is the final day of the 50 Hours in Vegas contest. 50 hours on the strip with TSN 1050. No accommodations and no reservations. Every day, one listener picks up $100 cash and a chance to qualify for a trip or two to Vegas. So we will announce this week's winner on Monday. This is how you win. We will pose a question of the day on Twitter. You respond at TSN 1050 Radio using the hashtag 50 Hours in Vegas. You must be 21 and older and live in Ontario. So here's the QOD. The Overdrive guys just had a massive weekend in Vegas. What's the first thing they do when they get back? What is the first thing the
That's
boys
not the
do?
Question.
And why? Dude, there's a lot of material there.
My question was, if Spearmint Rhino had a male amateur night, who do you vote on winning the contest?
I don't think that made the cut.
Well, Steph was pumping it up before.
She was pumping your tires, but it was
stupid.
Absolutely bogus. She had no interest in that. So the Overdrive guys had a massive weekend in Vegas. What's the first thing they do when they get back and why? Tweet us at TSN 1050 Radio using the hashtag 50 Hours in Vegas.
Ferg didn't have a problem with that, word, did he?
That might have been uncalled for by Fergie.
That's a grit grinder, a pro, and
making
veteran.
Us look bad.
1,000-game veteran.
Because this is a very difficult word, and Fergie is a 1,000-game veteran, as you put it, and he knocked out ambidextrous as if it was
You just did, man.
One
you got
syllable.
It. You got it, pal.
I'm slowly figuring this out. I'm going to carve it up about four or five times during this interview. Because we've got Pat Venditti on the line, live from Fenway. He's not a lefty. He's not a righty. He's a
switcher.
He's a switcher for the Blue Jays. What's happening, Pat?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing very well, man. We love this story and just how it all came about. We got to ask you right out of the gate. I mean, at what point did you realize this was even possible, that you could throw with both your left and your right and potentially make it into a career?
Yeah, as far as when I started, I was 3 years old when I started with it. And, you know, obviously when you're a little kid, you think everybody just, you get to play in the big league. So, you know, early on, you know, I was hoping that that would one day happen. And then, you know, once I was in college, I wasn't really sure if, you know, I would be able to pitch at the major league level. But then once I got drafted, I thought I'd just take it to each level I could until I felt, you know, the competition passed me up. So I would say probably by the time I was 25, I thought, you know what, I got a shot to do this. And, very grateful for this opportunity.
What's the deal with the glove? Is it one glove, two glove, one glove for both hands? I mean, how's that deal work?
Yeah, the glove is, it's just one glove, and then there's an extra thumb. So there's two thumb holes, and then the pocket's right in the middle, and it switches over pretty easily. I've had one since I was 7 years old, so it's really the only thing I know, and I'm able to use it from both sides and not have to come into the dugout to get a new glove.
That feels like the perfect prank, though. If someone wanted to be a goon and stole your glove right before you ran out there, that would be such a greasy move. Like, has a teammate ever done that to you?
No. Gosh, I'm kind of scared now that you've mentioned that. My head would explode if that happens.
No kidding. Yeah, no, it's incredible. And, I mean, we're a little bit ignorant on the rules because we've never seen it before at the major league level. In terms of, like, umpires' reactions, when you're on the mound – How do the rules work with you going from a lefty to a righty?
Yeah, the rule is once a new hitter comes up, I have to declare which way I'm going to face that hitter during that at-bat. And once that happens, no switching can occur until the next hitter is announced. So, you know, I've been playing for a while now to where these umpires understand the situation and it won't really catch guys off guard. But that's just the way it breaks down as far as the rule goes.
With Hang Pat on a Venditti. Sec.
Well, I want to know about growing up, because you probably would be able to just cause pain to some peewee baseball players if you started throwing right and then you started throwing left. That would be a major problem.
Yeah, you know, there was some confusion. One time after a game, one of the parents came up and congratulated my dad and said his twins pitched a heck of a game, not realizing that it was the same guy switching gloves. So there was some confusion, but not too much of that anymore.
With Pat Venditti, the switcher for the Blue Jays, they're down in Fenway tonight taking on the Red Sox. If you decided to just pitch with one arm, like all of a sudden you got to the majors and you said, you know what, I'm only going to concentrate on one arm, how much better do you think you could get if you focused 100% of your energy into simply being a lefty or just being a righty?
You know what, I don't know if there's if I would get much better per se, because it's not like I'm out here doing half the work with, or half the pitches with one arm compared to the other. You know, I'm just like any other pitcher out here, but I have to do twice the throwing and some, you know, extra conditioning and whatnot to do that. So I don't think there would be a thing of, having any extra work to get in. It's just one of those things where I need that advantage, and it's very beneficial for me.
If you went into the Hall of Fame and you had to pick one arm, like players do with picking a team or picking a hat, which arm would you pick to go into Cooperstown?
31-year-old or 30-year-old rookies don't really get asked that question too often. But you know what? Whatever. Let's go with the left. There's fewer lefties in there, I bet. So I'd say left.
Yeah. Okay. So you like the left a little bit more than the right. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Are your teammates in awe? Like when you're out there warming up, or if you're ever throwing BP for whatever reason, what are your teammates' response?
You know, this is my 8th year of professional baseball, so I've crossed paths with almost, you know, all of these guys that I'm playing with right now. This isn't the first time that they've seen me. And, you know, during spring training, there were a couple guys that hadn't seen me before, and it was maybe a few days where they would want to check out the glove. But it's really nothing new to these guys.
With Pat Venditti, the pitcher with the Blue Jays, they're in Boston tonight taking on the Red Sox. We were mentioning out of the gate before having you on how difficult of a word it is to even pronounce, ambidextrous, and it's not easy to spell. Can you spell the word?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give it a shot. Ambidextrous.
Yes. Pat knows where it's at. You probably get asked to do that all the time.
Yeah. That was the first time I've been tested on the spelling part of it. I'm glad I knocked it out.
Attaboy. No, it's incredible. You're on fire here. This is such a cool story, though. And the idea of you being up with the Jays, I think a lot of people in the city and really throughout the country are really going to start tracking you. And you made your debut, I think, earlier in the week. You were in Oakland last year. Now you're up with, obviously, a very good team, a team with high expectations. Give me your initial thoughts on being up with the Jays, and what do you make of the team and maybe where they're going?
Yeah, when I walked into the clubhouse during spring training, I could tell this is a special group. You know, the way the veterans carry themselves and go about their business on a day-to-day basis and show the younger guys how to work, Bautista, the JD, and all those guys, it's an unbelievable place. This team is going to do some special things, and I just hope to play any role that I can to help them do that.
Well, we wish you nothing but success, and best of luck tonight in Boston throughout the weekend and down the road as well. Thanks so much for doing this, Pat.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Pat Venditti, 30-year-old rookie.
Sounds like a cool cat.
Very good guy and very cool story. And since he was 3 years old,
he
started.
How's he a rookie? He played last year, didn't he?
I guess, but maybe he didn't qualify in terms of, I think he had 28 appearances. This would be a good spot to show up, though, man. If you could stick around in the bullpen on this team.
I find it so bizarre how he has to, like, what does he have to do? Tell the ump, like, lefty, righty.
I guess he throws his arm up and this is what I'm doing. Like, that would be interesting. I wish I asked him that. If he was facing a switch hitter, what does he do? Because obviously he's going to try to throw left against lefties, right against righties. But
well, the hitter doesn't have to announce, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know what he's doing when he gets into the box, though. It's not like he can throw you off last second. Next time we get him on, we got to ask him that. Like, if he's going up against a switch hitter, what do you do?
Wouldn't that be some kind of Leslie Nielsen skit where the pitcher would go to the right and then the hitter would go to the left and it would just be a circus?
I think that's exactly what would happen.
I know.
They'd both try to confuse each other, and finally the ump would say, all right, you're over here, you're throwing with your left, get on with it.
And stop screwing around.
People are going to snap here. So thanks again to Pat Venditti for joining us. Jay Sox tonight in Boston. Steve Phillips will join us in about 45 minutes to tee up that series. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes, teeing up night 3 of the NHL playoffs and looking back on everything that went down last night. We'll hit the grit grinder next.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Well, I'm a whiskey, a rock and roller. There's what I have. With a whiskey, my traveling.
Ray Ferraro will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll get to the Grit Grinder here in just a moment. A lot of people texting in, 105050. You can tweet us at HayesTSN. When it comes to a switch pitcher and a switch hitter, the pitcher has to declare first. So if Pat Venditti's up there and he's saying, all right, I'm going with the lefty, then the hitter can determine what he wants to do after that. I think that's bogus. It's so it's so much easier to be a switch hitter than it is a switch pitcher. Like, I've never seen it before at the major league levels. Venditti's, this is groundbreaking stuff. Let him have the advantage. If you build up a talent like that.
I've always found it so unbelievable that somebody could be a switch hitter. Obviously, this guy is more unbelievable pitching like that. But I can switch hit in a batting cage, but I'm not hitting it very far, lefty. Like, I can make contact, but it's a dribbler to first.
Wouldn't it suck being his battery mate, being his catcher, who's got to put in overtime? He's got to do everything twice. Like, he's got dinner reservations at 6 p.m. and Venditti's like, all right, now I'm switching over to the left. Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, dude, we've been throwing for an hour already.
Yeah, another hour with the left.
And then we go over and look at my game tape, both sides, and start deciding how we're going to game plan this. You got to give him credit, though. Kept grinding, man. Made it to the major leagues at 30.
Mm-hmm.
Always a cool story. I just noticed that the Panthers and the Islanders are playing again tonight. That is Bush League. Like, have an NHL playoff series back-to-back nights?
I can give you a scheduling subject that will make you happy and forget about that. The Panthers are starting off their season at Denver. Do you like that?
I do. It's going to feel a little bit different without Peyton Manning. But I think that's the right call. And if I'm going to play Vegas right now, I think Carolina is maybe going to win that game. I could see that being a pick 'em by kickoff based on who their quarterback is. Because as of right now, Mark Sanchez is the starting quarterback for the Super Bowl-winning Denver Broncos. Think about that. The butt fumbler is going to run out of the tunnel as the starting quarterback in Denver, opening night, Thursday night.
So you're telling me they're not going to upgrade on that before the opening night?
Well, they're hoping to get Kaepernick is the understanding, but Kaepernick's contract, he's not willing to cut a deal. They want him to rework his deal, and Kaepernick's like, screw you, man. You owe me guaranteed money. I'm not doing that. And I don't
good
blame
him.
Yeah. Absolutely good for him. So we'll see. I mean, at the draft or throughout the offseason, they still might upgrade. They better upgrade. Because if it's Cam Newton going up against Mark Sanchez, I don't care how good that defense is in Denver, I think Cam will likely respond. But I think that's what you want. You want to put Cam Newton back on
that
the main stage, right? Like, it's more about the opponents, I think, than it is the home team. Like, even though Denver won the Super Bowl and they're at home and it's their night and the banner will be revealed, I think that night will be more about Cam Newton, because the last time he was on the field and the last time he was on the podium, he embarrassed himself. He played horribly.
He embarrassed himself on the field, too.
Both. Like, he bitched and complained on the field,
whining
off the field,
crying on the sidelines, rolling around.
He's the MVP of the league.
Dude, people are going nuts in that press conference. Would you really want to sit there and listen to a guy from the opposition that just won the Super Bowl bragging about how they dominated, they couldn't get, like, separate them? I wouldn't want to sit and listen to that either.
I wouldn't either, but it comes with the territory. You're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
When I lost the Stanley Cup to the Detroit Red Wings, if I had to sit and do an interview and Shanny and Stevie Y and the boys were just going nuts with the cup 2 feet away from me, I'd just say, check, please. Like, no, thanks. You just got your heart ripped out and you got to listen to somebody else boasting about it? No, thank you.
I think that is something that has to change. I don't think there's any doubt. The NFL should work out some new routine where you bring one team in first and
then
you bring the other team in. Like, the reason it's in that conference hall, basically, is because of the significance of the event. There's so much media there and it's all about access. But I think they should learn from that. Bring the losing team out first, let them do what they do, and then bring the winning team. But it's all about the position, too. The quarterback gets treated so differently than every other position in pro sports in that country. And look what happened yesterday with that trade. Like, the L.A. Rams gave up a fortune to move up to the first pick. Why? Because they know it's worth it if they get that star quarterback. They're going to pick a quarterback. There's two kids at the top of the draft. They're going to pick their poison. And they realize if they don't have a quarterback, they're a nothing team.
Well,
the Rams have been 8-8 forever because they don't have offense.
It's still a roll of the dice, though, Brian. Somebody tweeted out all the teams in the past that have traded up to get that number one pick and who won, what actually turned out. If you make that risk and you sell the farm to get it and it doesn't work out, you should be unemployed.
It can burn you quickly.
No kidding.
I think they know that anyway. I'm almost surprised Jeff Fisher is still the head coach in St. Louis. He's done nothing since he got there. Nothing. He's been there for at least 3 or 4 years. They go 8-8 every year. 8-8, 8-8, 7-9, 9-7. They're never a playoff team. Now, they've been in a difficult division for a long time. Seattle, the Niners, and now Arizona. So it hasn't been easy, but Fisher just continues to get his gig back. But I think he realizes, and
well, he probably
the GM realizes.
That he was cranking up on him. I got to do something.
You got to get a quarterback. And guess what? If this doesn't work, he's gone anyway.
That's right.
So the next regime comes in and says,
it's the equivalent of ridiculous long-term contracts because you're not going to be around for the end of them anyway.
Could be a huge drag bunt by Jeff Fisher and the
massive
current Rams.
Start at the salad, end at the dessert.
Very much so. Could happen. You ready to hit the 40-30 low center of gravity grit grinder?
Yes, sir.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
Brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans.
I'm going to go with two people. One being Joe Pavelski from the San Jose Sharks. He grit grinded last night. And the other is John Tavares from the Islanders.
I'm going to go with Josh Donaldson. Did you see that home run he hit last night?
That was
a missile.
Deep off woods.
And did you see he's rocking the skull cap now?
I'm not sure what I think of that.
It's working for him, though.
Oh, he's working the skull.
He's got the skull cap going. He's got whatever hair it is. I don't even know how to explain it. But Donaldson is locked in, man. He's got hits in all 10 games. I believe he's leading the majors with 5 home runs, or he's real close to it.
Story is.
Loading up on, yeah, you're right, story would be. So maybe in the American League. But RBIs, OPS, made a nice defensive play last night. He's a beast. And I think he's the favorite right now to win the MVP in the American League. I know we're only 10 games in.
I always find it unbelievable seeing him hit all these homers. Like, do these guys know that they can't pitch to him like that? Like, it's unbelievable.
I know.
Like, do you remember when Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire were just mashing ball? Like,
but here's the thing. Do you want to pitch around him and pitch to Bautista, who's equally as locked in right now?
Very good point, yeah.
And then do you want to dodge that and Edwin rolls up and then Tulo's waiting for you? And Tulo had a big hit last night. He needed that home run.
Big time.
His defense has been brilliant. His bat's been ice cold, but he needs to warm up. And maybe he did get that thing started last night. The 40-30 low center of gravity grit grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans. Built with U-shaped construction and four-way flex technology, Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans are the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Ray Ferraro and Steve Phillips in the next hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.